ours will be forever the method.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. Little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our Patreon sponsors. Thank you for supporting our show. If you'd like to become a Patreon sponsor yourself, you can go to our website, bodybuildinglegendshow.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you will see the link to becoming a Patreon sponsor, and we appreciate your support. All right, welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's show, we have Joe Nazario. Joe was the 1978 Mr. International winner, and he also went on to compete as a professional bodybuilder after that. And Joe also competed in some top IFBB amateur shows before that. In 1975, he was competing against Robbie Robinson at the IFBB Mr. America. And then in 1976, he was competing against Danny Padilla at the 1976 IFBB Mr. America. And then finally, as I said, Joe got his biggest win in 1978 at the IFBB Mr. International. So Joe is now living in Puerto Rico. He's in his early 70s. He looks great. And we finally had a chance to talk to Joe Nazario. So that interview will be coming up in a second. All right. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Today is Father's Day when I'm recording this. So I hope all you fathers are having a great Father's Day today and enjoying it with your families. I want to mention a new podcast that I'm involved with Old School Labs, who is still one of my sponsors. We are doing a podcast called Maturity Muscle, and it'll be on YouTube every Tuesday. And it'll be myself, Nick Trigilli, and Samir Banut, 1983 Mr. Olympia. And we will be talking about the topics that happen during the week of bodybuilding. And Nick will be asking me and Samir kind of an older school perspective, a couple generations away from his generation, because I think Nick is only in his 30s, I believe. He's a pretty young guy. So we'll be talking about what's going on in the world of bodybuilding, and he's going to get my opinion as well as Samir's. So it should be pretty interesting. We did our first show last week. It was just supposed to be a test show, but they actually ended up putting it on. So if you're interested in checking that out, go to Old School Labs YouTube channel, and you can find that every week. So I thought it went pretty good, and I'm looking forward to doing that every week. So it should be pretty good. What else is going on? I took a rest week this week from my training. Actually, it's not a rest week. It's a deload week. So after I train hard for like 6 weeks or so, I always take a deload week. And I kind of been doing this for the last few years. I wrote about it in my book, MP6 Workout. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, you can check out my book, MP6 Workout. I have those available on Amazon and also on my johnhansenfitness.com website. Supposed to do an interview with John DeFendis this week too, but John is very busy, of course, with his personal training. He has a lot of clients, so he had to cancel at the last minute, but hopefully we can get him on the show next week. And in a couple weeks, we're going to be having our 5th anniversary, if you can believe it. July 5th, I believe, 2017 was our first show for the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. So here we are now 5 years later. Quite honestly, I thought the show was only going to last about a year because I figured I would run out of people to talk to. And somehow we are still going. I don't know how. But sometimes it does get hard to find guests, as you guys can tell, because sometimes I miss a week here and there. But I'm still trying my best. I got a couple of people I'm working on right now who would be some really good guests. But they're kind of older, so they're a little hesitant on getting a hold of them. A lot of these older guys, of course, aren't on social media at all. Or they don't really know how to use social media. So it's kind of difficult. So sometimes I have to find their friends or relatives to try to get a hold of them. So hopefully we'll be able to get some of these people I'm working on. I don't want to jinx it by mentioning it, but I'll let you guys know, of course, as soon as I do. For all of our Patreon sponsors, I am doing something new. I'm going to be sending you guys some links to some articles I'm going to be reading. Of course, at the end of each podcast, I always read articles. But I'll be sending our Patreon sponsors something a little bit extra. So 2 times a month, they will be getting another article that I'll be reading. And they'll also be getting an article that I'll write. So they will be getting something a little bit extra. and they deserve it because they are helping to support the show. But at the end of this show, I'm going to be reading an article about Joe Nazario, who is our guest. And this comes from the March 1979 issue of Muscle and Fitness magazine. No, I'm sorry, it was still Muscle Builder. It was not Muscle and Fitness yet. It's got the iconic picture of Mike Mentzer on the cover, where he's kind of looking like Hercules because he's posing next to that lion statue. Well, it's actually like a podium, and it's got a lion's head on the top of it. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. And the title of the article on the front page says the training strategy that made Mike Mentzer 1978 IFBB world champion, because this was right after Mike won the Mr. Universe with the perfect score. But the article I'm going to be reading is called Joe Nazario Defeats the Injury Demon, and it's written by Bill Reynolds. And it's probably going to talk about Joe's back injury, which he talks about pretty extensively in our interview that's going to be coming up in a minute. So I will be reading this as soon as we get finished interviewing Joe. So I got to see Joe at that show in person, and I thought Joe was the obvious winner. He had like great abdominals, and I thought he was the most finished and the most polished physique up there. So even to my young eyes, I thought Joe was a obvious winner of that contest. So we'll be reading this article about Joe Nazario right after the interview with Joe. And this comes from the March 1979 issue of Muscle Builder and Power. All right. So that's all I got for our opening, guys. Without any further ado, here is our interview with Joe Nazario, 1978 Mr. International. Here we go. All right. Welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I have a very special guest with us this week, Mr. Joe Nazario, who is the 1978 Mr. International winner. Joe, welcome to the show.
Great to see you, John. You're a great interviewer.
Thank you.
I saw the interview you did with Frank Dane.
Oh, yeah. That was one of our most popular ones.
I watched it twice. You did a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Well, Joe, let's start from the very beginning, as we always do. Tell us how you got involved in working out and what got you involved with bodybuilding.
Okay, well, I was in the Air Force for 4 years.
Okay.
And I was stationed in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And then I filled out the dream sheet to come to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And then they answered my dream sheet request, and I ended up in Puerto Rico, in Aguadilla, Puerto Rico. That's the northwestern part of the island, a beautiful part of the island. And they had a nice gym there. And I was working on a flight line in a hangar. Okay. And my NCO said to me, Joe, let's go to the gym. He gave me an order, you know what I mean? You can't say no, you know?
Right.
I said, oh, man, I don't want to go to the gym, man. That's not for me. I was always playing sports before then, you know? I was playing the sport. Snow skiing, basketball, baseball. That was my thing. You know, track and field, you know, and I'm just weightlifting, you know what I mean? But, you know, I had to listen to the guy, you know what I mean? He's my NCO,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
So I went to the gym, and I started working out with him. You know, I got on a bench press, and I did some workout. And then after that, I went to the sauna. And then I felt great afterwards. You know, wow,
yeah.
This is really cool, you know. I said, this is really cool, you know. And then that's when I started liking bodybuilding. And then it was this guy on base. His name was Mark. I never forget this guy. This was 1972. Okay. It was 1972. There was this guy, a Jewish guy on the base. And this guy had a body like Steve Reeves, you know, a little waistline, beautiful physique, man. And that inspired me, man. And then he came up to me one day and he says, hey, Joe, man, he's like kind of jealous of me, but in a positive way, you know?
Yeah.
I said, look at you, Joe, man, you got natural traps. And I said, wow, man, this guy's making me feel good. You know, he's telling me I got some genetics, you know?
Right.
So, and then that pumped me up, you know? And then he started showing me some of the magazines, you know, with Arnold on the beach and Frank Zane and all these beautiful women with the bikinis, you know?
Right.
And that really put me up, you know?
Right.
And that's when it all started. And then I got discharged from the airport, and I went to New York City, you know, because there was not that much environment down here for bodybuilding back then.
Yeah.
Back then. So I went to New York City, and I started training at Mid-City Gym.
Were you born in New York, Joe?
I was born and raised in New York. I was born and raised with Italians and Irish and no Puerto Ricans.
Right. How old were you when you started that first weight training session?
How old was I when I started weight training?
Yeah, when you did that first weight training session in the Air Force.
I started late, man. I was like 22 years old.
22, okay.
I started late. Yeah, I wish I would have started earlier, like 13 or 14 years old.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? I really believe that, you know, I would have won the Olympia by the time I was 20, because I had excellent genetics. I still do, you know?
Yeah.
Not to boast brag, but
yeah.
I'm telling you.
So you go to New York, you go back to New York, and you start training at Mid-City Gym?
I started training at Mid-City Gym, and then I started competing. I competed in this local gym contest, Mr. Profile, the gym next to the United Nations. And then I won that contest. And then after that, I went to the Mr. Eastern America, IFBB.
Yeah.
IFBB, Mr. Eastern America.
Okay.
And I won that contest. I mean, this is all less than in about 2 or 3 years of training. So that's why I realized, I have some genetics.
Yeah.
I'm just in this area. And then after that, I went to the USA, IFBB in California. And I would have won it, but my posing was not that good, you know. But I won my weight class, you know. I beat out some pretty good competitive bodybuilders, and Roger Cowan and so many other guys back then. And then after that, I went back to New York because I was living in New York, and I trained again. And then I came back and I won a USA. And then I put my sights on something really big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, I realized, you know, I have potential in the sport. Joe Weed used to call me up to my apartment.
Really?
He called me up all the time. You know, you remember Joe, you know, with that.
Yeah.
Joe, when you coming out to California? I'll put you in the magazine. Joe, come on out, Joe. You know? He used to call me up all the time, you know?
Yeah.
All the time, my apartment. So it made me really feel good, and everything inspired me, you know?
Yeah.
And then I set my sights on the international, Mr. International. And, you know, Dan Lurie, remember Dan Lurie?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, he offered me a contract, you know, for about 10,000 back then, over 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I said no. I said no, I didn't want it because, you know, the thing is with the WBBG, you don't get the same recognition, you know, as you do with the IFBB, you know?
Smaller organization.
You know, and so I turned it down, you know, and the money was great, you know, great. This guy's offering me a contract, you know, I knew it was like a dead end street. So I stayed with the IFBB, you know, because it's all the best bodybuilders are at. I mean,
right.
Arnold and Zane and Danny Padilla, Robbie Robinson, Bill Grant,
right.
You know, Boya Cole, all these guys. And, you know, that's, Weider control the IFBB, you know, so that's the best place to be is in the IFBB. So and then in 1978, I went to the Mr. International in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
And I won that contest. I was in great shape, you know.
Sure.
I know it's still haunting Samir Banu. You know, he's my friend, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know it's still haunting him because I always hear him, you know, complain about that. You know, I should have won. But, you know, between you and I, he'll probably hear this, but between them, that was my moment.
Yeah.
I was in the best shape there, out of everybody, that moment, you know. You know, he can't complain. He won the Olympia in 82.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I just did a podcast with Samir recently, and he was talking about that show.
He's a great guy. I like the guy. He's a great guy. But I was in great shape, man. That day, it was my day. That was my day. And my moment. I beat out Carlos Rodriguez. Carlos Rodriguez is one of Mr. Universe.
Great bodybuilder.
I beat him out that day. I beat out Samir. I beat out Ray Menser. I beat out Roger Cowan. I beat out a lot of top bodybuilders in that time. And that put me on in the spotlight in bodybuilding. I started getting on the front covers of magazines and I started getting exhibitions in different places. I got invited to go to Sweden.
Wow.
And I went to Hawaii. I got movie parts. And, that caught me in the limelight. Yeah, I had a great time. I mean, yeah, I have a lot of great memories. I went to India. I made a karate movie in India.
Okay.
With Bruce Lee. Yeah, it was a bad guy. I got killed at the end.
Okay. Well, let me take
hey,
you back.
I went to Sweden. They put me on the front cover of the newspaper in Sweden. That was a great, you know, good thing. Well,
what'd you go out to Sweden?
What's that?
What did you go out to Sweden for? Was that just guest posing?
They invited me to do a bodybuilding exhibition.
Okay, great. Yeah, awesome.
So then I went to Sweden and, back time I was in the party and all that stuff and had a crazy lifestyle. And as soon as I left Sweden, I went to Studio 54 in New York City. I had to
pick
me up at the airport. Remember Studio 54?
Yeah. I always wish I could have went there when I was gone. Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, man. I got to the airport. I had this, like, this John Travolta suit on. You know what I mean? Cream, you know, and cream shoes, you know what I mean? I thought I was kind of John Travolta, you know what I mean? And I had this limo pick me up at the airport. And then the limo took me to Studio 54. And then when I got to Studio 54, the limo dropped me off right in the middle. All the people on the side, you know, watching
right.
this guy. You know, must be some famous movie star.
Right.
I had a lot of great memories. Hawaii had a great experience too. I got invited by the Federation, but I did a bodybuilding exhibition back there. I was like, when you get to the airport, they put a leg around your neck. Remember to put they put a leg around your neck. You know? And then I got invited to this party. I was chaperoned by this beautiful model. I stayed at the Waikiki Beach, the hotel, Waikiki Beach. And then they took me to this party, you know, it was like 40, 50 people on a dance floor. and then they had me take off my shirt.
Yeah.
And like I was dancing on the dance floor. And, well, you know, it was wild, man. But I have a lot of great memories. I mean,
They brought you out there for a bodybuilding exhibition?
His name is Bill Reynolds. Remember this guy, Bill Reynolds? Bill Reynolds worked for Weeders.
Yeah.
He helped me do my bodybuilding courses back then.
Okay.
There was another guy. His name is Nelson. Bill Nelson. He had me flown out to Hawaii.
Okay.
And, you know, and they paid everything, you know. It was a great deal.
Yeah.
And well, I was living in California. Yeah.
Let me take you back to the first shows you did. I was looking at your contest profile here. So you did the America in 75, right, when Robbie won?
I believe so. I competed in several bodybuilding contests.
Yeah.
Was it America? It could have been America.
It was the America, 75 America, yeah.
Okay.
And then you did the USA that year, but you got second in that one to Denny Gable. That's the one Danny Padilla won, right?
Right.
Wasn't that like in Madison Square Garden, right?
The USA?
Yeah.
I don't recall, I'll be honest with you. It's been so many years, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been so many years. You know, I mean, hey, the memory is not as good as it used to be, you know. Things start diminishing after. I'll be 73 this month, you know.
Oh, really? Oh, you look great. You look great, man.
Yeah, June 28th, I'll be 73.
Wow.
And I told you, I mentioned to you, I lost 40 pounds of body fat from last October 19th to now. I lost 40 pounds of body fat. I'm in great shape now.
Wow. What do you weigh now?
210.
210. Okay. So you were like 250.
Back then I was like almost 250.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah. I'm terribly out of shape, but it was affecting my health.
Yeah. Why did you get so heavy, Joe?
You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, living here in Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
it's like the people here like to eat all kinds of greasy stuff and all that fat and stuff. It's like it's part of the culture.
Right.
Things rub off on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a lot of things. You come down here, man, you know, you're gonna gain some weight down here because there's a lot of good food down here.
Right.
Puerto Rico, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been here for about 30 years, you know. And
3 years?
I was always eating good food every day, you know.
Yeah.
But I love it here, you know. Even though I was born and raised in the States, I love it here. You know, I love the beach. I go to the beach every day. Twice a day, I go to the beach twice a day. And wow. I train twice a day now. I go to Crunch. I'm okay. promoting Crunch now. You're going to give me a free membership now.
Why did you move out there, Joe?
You know, I'll be honest with you. Since I was a young kid, my parents used to fly me here in Puerto Rico. And I used to stay here in the summertime on vacation. And Puerto Rico back then in the 60s, this place was like a paradise, man. It was like a paradise. It was beautiful. It was like virgin territory, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I fell in love with the place, man. You know, I just thought to myself, eventually, this is where I want to retire. And I had the opportunity to come here I had two gyms here before. I had two gyms here in Bonta.
Oh, did you really?
I'm located on the southern part of the island. Yeah, I'm located. So I had two gyms here. The last gym I had, it was a beautiful gym, but Hurricane Maria knocked me out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have some investors right now. I got some investors right now that want me to open up another gym, and it'll be double the size that I had back then, so I'm considering it.
Oh, okay, cool. So when you got out of the Air Force from Puerto Rico and you moved back to New York, did you stay working for the Air Force, or did you have another job?
No, I used to get some part-time jobs. Like I worked at Jacqueline as an instructor, as a lifeguard.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great place to meet a lot of girls, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Back then, you know, I've changed a lot. I've changed a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a serious guy now.
So
you know, when you're young, you know how it is, right? When you're young,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you got to grow up in every state, you know?
Did you stay in New York all the time, Joe, or did you think about moving out to California?
You know, I know. I wanted to stay. I wasn't ready for California because I know that was the mecca for California. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get recognized first, you know, and get in the magazines first. And I wanted to get my name recognized first, win some big titles. And then I would make my move, you know, after I achieved that.
Okay.
So after I hung on front covers of magazines. I don't know if you remember seeing me on the front covers of magazines.
Sure, yeah.
Muscle Digest, Muscle Development. After that, and then after I won the ICB, Mr. International, I had my opportunity, and then I made my way to California.
You did move to California then after that?
I did. I was living in Santa Monica on Montana Avenue.
Okay.
And I was trading in Gold's Gym.
Okay.
You know, on Main Street. Street.
Yeah.
But I was one of those guys. I didn't like California that much. I put it this way. I didn't adjust to California.
Yeah.
But I was out there like 2 or 3 years.
Okay. All right.
But then after that, I went back to New York, and then I eventually ended up in Puerto Rico.
Okay, all right. So tell me about when you lived out in California. How was it training at the gym out there at Gold's Gym?
It was cool, you know. It was good. I mean, I was for aggressive bodybuilding. It's great, you know.
Yeah.
I had a good time. I got some great memories out here also. You know, I had a good time out here.
Yeah.
You know, I got to train with a lot of guys out there. I was mainly into myself, but, you know, I made friends out there, you know, Samir and Bill Grant was my friend.
Yeah.
And, great guy. And I had some friends out there, but I didn't adjust well with California.
Yeah. Didn't like the people out there?
That's it. It's a very different place out there. I'm used to the East Coast, you know.
Yeah.
California is a very transient place.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can live next to somebody for 40 years and you don't talk to each other.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And I wasn't used to that. You know, I'm used to, you know, kind of family orientated, you know, and you talk to your neighbors, you know, and everybody's very much into themselves out there.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, you know, hey, it's great for some people. I mean, you know, some people adjust well out there with that, but I didn't adjust well with that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. So when you moved back to New York, were you still competing then? Because I know you competed in the pros, right? You were competing in the pro IFBB shows in 1970.
I competed in Night Champions and, the Grand Prix. I competed.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Miami. I competed in some of the pro shows. But I retired early from bodybuilding.
Why did you retire, Joe?
I'll be honest with you, God had other plans for me, you know. And God had other plans for me. I guess it was my time, you know. I wanted to go on with something, to something else, another part of my life. And that's why I didn't want to compete anymore. You know, I got kind of burnt out on it.
Yeah. How did you feel?
Well, I still love bodybuilding. I love bodybuilding. I still train and that, but I'm more into fitness now.
Yeah, yeah. How did you feel your pro career went? Because, you know, when you're doing all those pro shows, did you feel like you placed where you should have placed?
I'll be honest with you. Look, I have to be real.
Yeah.
I did great as a bodybuilder. You remember, I started bodybuilding when I was in 1972.
Yeah.
In 1974, I won Mr. Eastern America. I shot to the top like a rocket ship.
Yeah.
In 72, I started bodybuilding. I was a slim guy.
Yeah.
And then in 1978, 6 years later, I won the international, and I was competing as a professional bodybuilder. So, you know, I'm proud of my accomplishments. I did great as a bodybuilder. I made my mark. You know, to be honest with you, I made my mark in bodybuilding, and I'm proud of it. You know, I achieved my goal. I wanted to become one of the best in bodybuilding, and I achieved that goal. And I achieved. I wanted to develop an aesthetic physique like Frank Zane.
Yeah.
And I achieved that, and that's what. And I remember for that, maybe that my aesthetic, you know,
right.
Like Frank Zane. So, you know, I'm proud of my accomplishments. I feel great about them.
Yeah.
I know I made my mark. And, so here we are today, you know.
Did you ever do the Olympia, Joe? Did you ever compete with
Olympia? You know something that I had, no, I was on my way to compete in the Olympia back then, you know. As a matter of fact, then when you put me on the front cover of Muscle Digest, If you look at it, on the bottom there's a caption of Muscle Digest in 1978, and it says Joe Nazario, Mr. International. I used to be Mr. International in 1978, shaving his course for Mr. Olympia.
Okay.
So the editor of that magazine saw the potential in me to compete at Mr. Olympia.
Right.
You know? But I like I said, I got out of bodybuilding, you know, and so I didn't pursue that goal, you know.
Okay.
I got out of bodybuilding early, but the potential was there. I mean, the people saw that potential was there in me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not only that, you know, I in 6 years, I won a major bodybuilding contest. So I won Mr. International at Columbus, Ohio. Remember, you were there. Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You were there. That was the same day Frank Zane won the Olympia.
Right. So they held it together. Yeah. They held the International Olympia together. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was listening to the interview, and you mentioned you were 14 years before. So I thought, okay, so you're 15 when I won the international.
Yeah, you definitely deserved to win that show. I remember how sharp you were. And like you said, there were some really good guys in that show, and you were definitely the winner.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I realize that.
But you had that finished look. You had that finished polished look, you know. And I think
I got a lot of help. I have to recognize the people who helped me out, you know. Wayne D'Amelia and Karen D'Amelia, you know. Wayne at that time was married to Karen D'Amelia. If it wouldn't have been for them, I wouldn't have won. They helped me out in the posing, and I'm grateful to them for that.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how you guys trained back then. How did you train back then, Joe? Were you training like 6 days a week? Because I know a lot of the guys in the 70s, they were training 6 days in a row.
You know, I used to train 6 days a week. But, you know, things have changed so much, you know?
They have, yeah. Training's changed.
You know, things have changed as far as eating and everything's concerned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I train 6 days a week. I still do the same routine, I think. You know, chest, shoulders, and triceps. One day, back and biceps the following day. And then I would do legs by itself because I could train like an animal with legs. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And then as far as the diet is concerned, I used to low carb. I used to count my grams on a carbohydrate.
Yeah.
At low carbohydrate diet.
How many carbs a day were you eating when you're dieting?
I would say less than 200 a day.
Less than 200 carbs? Okay.
I would say less than 200 a day.
Yeah.
It would have been maybe half of it. But I was really low. It was really low. But I used to train very intense. And to this day, people talk about me in Long Island. And I said, man, that guy was an animal training. You know? I used to train very intense, you know. And I used to do a lot of heavy squatting like that.
Oh, really?
And, I used to love squat. They used to be my favorite exercise. But, you know, I got a serious injury back then. I went so heavy, I injured my spinal cord.
Oh, you did? Okay. Squatting?
Yes. And to this day, I have health issues 24/7 because of that injury I received. So all you guys out there, you know, be smart. You know, be careful with the heavy weight. Make sure you use good form, you know, and do the right thing when you're training. You know, don't train and impress other people. But you go to the gym in our days, and they don't do it. They use always heavy weights to impress, you know?
Yeah.
These young guys.
Yeah.
And they don't do the exercise correctly. And, and guys get injured that way, you know?
How much were you squatting when you hurt your back?
About 500 pounds.
500 pounds. Wow, that was heavy.
But I was just squatting. That was ridiculous. That was, you know, that was foolish.
Yeah.
You know, 500 pounds, and I was just starting, you know what I mean? And
did you hurt your back when you were already a pro, or was this when you were younger, when you were an amateur?
When did I hurt my back?
Yeah, was it when you were already a pro, or was it younger when you were an amateur?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked me that question. Always remind me about the telephone.
Okay.
I injured my back in the early stages, I think, like 2 or 3 years into a couple of years into my bodybuilding.
Oh, wow.
2 or 3 years into my body. Okay. Yeah. And then I say, hey, John, man, I tell you, it was painful. I went to the doctor. It was painful. I went to the doctor, radiologist, and he said, hey, Joe, man, forget about bodybuilding. You won't be able to compete anymore. You're going to end up in a wheelchair.
Wow.
And I didn't want to hear it because that was my dream, you know?
Yeah.
I want to become, you know, a great bodybuilder, you know?
Yeah.
An exceptional bodybuilder. But, you know, I was so determined. I have to mention this because you'll see that the power of the mind is so powerful.
Yeah.
My mind was so powerful back then. I was so determined that I put up with the pain. The pain was so bad. I used to have my sciatic nerve used to pinch all the time.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, man.
Were you still squatting, Joe? Or did you do something else?
Yeah, I was still squatting, man. I was still squatting. And the pain was so bad. I used to crawl on the floor.
Damn.
I couldn't stand on my 2 feet. The pain was so bad. The crawl on the floor. I got tears. Tears coming down my eyes. The pain was so bad.
So did this continue
with all that, John, I still went on to win the international, man. It goes to show you when you're determined to do something, and you got the willpower, man, you'll overcome many obstacles.
So this.
And I want to mention one thing. I have to give credit where it's due. And Ed Connor is one of the owners of Gold's Gym. Ed Connor?
Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
We were good friends back then. And he was a great guy. He did me a big favor. Because we used to talk to each other a lot.
Yeah.
And he used to say, Joe, man, what I recommend you do is you buy buy this inversion device. Inversion device?
Yeah.
He'd buy this inversion device, and that's going to help you out. So I purchased that. I ordered that inversion device, and it did alleviate, you know, help me out. I was able to, you know, it did help me out with the pain and that. You know, so I still had, it did alleviate because it would open up the spaces in between her vertebra.
Right, right, yeah. Was this in the 70s, Joe?
And it just would go back in place again, huh?
This was still in the 70s?
This was in the 70s.
I didn't know they had those inversion tables back in the 70s.
Yeah, they used to have, that was a really good one. You put it on a door, the entrance to your door, to your room.
Okay.
And you set it up there. It was a great, they still had it, you know.
Was it the table or was it the boots? Because I had the boots at first, and then I got.
I had the boots. It wasn't the boots. It wasn't the table. Back then, the table wasn't around back then.
Right.
And the boots came out after. What I had was one where you flip over. You lean into the cushion, and you flip over. You invert. That was the inversion device.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I've got one of those tables in my house, too, because I use it.
Oh, yeah. It's a great thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
But I go to a chiropractor now.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing back then.
Yeah, I go once a week to a chiropractor.
When you hurt your back in the 70s, they didn't really know how to treat that, right? They didn't have all these other devices or all these other methodologies of helping your back then, you know?
No, they didn't have that much. No, not really. No.
Yeah, like you said, you go to the doctor and he says you're going to screw yourself up for the rest of your life. You got to stop. You know, there was no chiropractors. There was no inversion. There was no none of the stuff we have today.
Well, the chiropractors, they had the chiropractors, but they were known as quack doctors.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The chiropractors had a very bad reputation back then.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah.
You know, so, but I went to a chiropractor, but it was a couple years after that.
Yeah.
A few years after I injured myself.
Yeah.
But you had the inversion device, you know, which is really, it just basically it does the same thing as the chiropractor.
Yeah.
You know, because you got the natural, the gravity that pulls down on your spinal cord, open spaces, and it puts you, and you end up with your disc back in place.
Yes, exactly. So you did the very first Night of the Champions in 1978, right? In New York.
Right. Or New York. Yeah, New York.
Yeah. How was
that? I was happy with my result. Hey, look, you know, I wanted to compete with the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like honor for me. It was like, I was just grateful for that, man. You know, I just wanted to be with the best, and I ended up competing with the best, you know, and I ended up competing with Robbie, Danny Padilla, Mike Mentor, Dennis Tenorino, God bless him, you know, and all these stuff, Bill Grant, and I competed with the best guys, Warrior Cole. So it was like a little, it was like a treat to me, you know what I mean?
Roy Callender.
Roy Callender, the guy was the beast, you know?
Yeah.
That guy was like thick as a wall, you know?
I know. What are your feelings about some of those guys? Like, what did you think about Danny Padilla?
Danny, great bodybuilder, man. One of the best ever, man.
Yeah.
Great bodybuilder, beautiful physique. You know, very well proportioned.
Yeah.
Same thing with Samir. You know, great Samir. Samir's got a very aesthetic, beautiful body. A very aesthetic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, as far as why he never won the Olympia, he came close, but not close enough. I'm talking about Danny Padilla. You know, he was never able to pull it off. But that's so controversial, right?
Yeah. What about when
Franco Colombo won, right?
In 81, What did you think of Robbie? Because you saw Robbie when he was at his best.
Yeah, I could be I was on the same stage as Robbie. You know, that guy was a phenomenal man. A little waistline. And we used to smoke weed together. Me and Robbie in the hotel.
A lot of guys.
Came down to my room. He offered me a weed. I was with there with a girl, you know. I was with the girl there. And he offered me some weed back then, you know. So we smoked some weed together back then, you know.
Yeah. A lot of
money. Now it's legal. Now it's legal. Now back then it wasn't legal.
Right. I know. I know.
I was fortunate. I didn't get caught with that stuff.
Yeah. Right. A lot of bodybuilders smoked weed back then, right? In the '70s.
Oh, forget about it, man. You'd be surprised. Even Arnold. Boy, if you look at it, now that you mention that, if you see Pumping Iron, you see Arnold pumping. If you see Arnold smoking weed in the bus, right at the end of the bus, right?
Yeah,
uh-huh, yeah. You know, all these guys just smoke weed, man. Anyway, all these guys just smoke a lot of weed back then, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think
of
that?
But, but eventually it can turn against you.
Yeah, the weed?
It can make you paranoid, yes. It can turn against you. And also, it's been proven, it's a scientific fact, maybe some of a lot of guys don't want to get it, but it destroys your brain cells.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't recommend it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, when you're young, you think you're Superman, you know?
Yeah.
You can jump out of the building and fly, you know?
What'd you think of Mike Mentzer? Did you saw Mike at his
Mike, you know, Mike was into himself, you know, very introverted guy. Great physique, you know? But great physique, but his physique didn't appeal to me.
No, you didn't like that look.
No. I mean, I'm very picky, you know. And if you mention some bodybuilders, you know, I'm into aesthetics. You know, if you mention guys like Bob Paris, Pensato, Lee Labrada, Samir Banus, he's right up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another bodybuilder. And recently, the guy passed away. The guy, Cedric or something like that.
Cedric.
Yeah, for a lot of size, he had some aesthetics. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Three beautiful physique, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm into aesthetics. And so, if I would have mentioned some guys that guys that won the Olympia, I don't know, their physique don't turn me on.
Right, yeah.
You know? But yeah, I think it's for me a physique. It's not only aesthetic. I mean, you know, you get the line, the body, it kind of flows.
Yeah, yeah.
The line. If you have too many bodybuilders, where the lines, when you come down from the top and it flows, you know, from the upper body, it flows into the hips and into the legs. You know what I mean? And you know, that's what I consider a great physique. You know?
Right. Did you get a chance to meet Arnold when you were living in California?
Arnold inspired. Yeah, I've met Arnold many times. You know, and Arnold used to play games with people's heads.
What do you mean? What did he do?
Well, I mean, one time I was coming out of a restaurant. You know, I had pretty good legs. You know, and he wanted to play with my head. He just thought, you shouldn't be wearing shorts like that. Just to play with my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but Arnold was an inspiration to me. I'll be honest with you. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, if it wasn't saying bodybuilder, he put bodybuilder on the map. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And, Arnold's a big inspiration to millions of people. We're friends, you know. In the beginning, we were in touch with each other and he was very nice to me. He sent me some for my gym. He sent me a beautiful couple autograph pictures.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Nice.
So, you know. Yeah, Arnold's very nice. Arnold's very nice. And the day I won Miss International, I know from him, he was on stage. He was like directing everything. Remember that?
He was directing stuff.
And, we've been to some parties together, Arnold and I, you know, and we've been to parties Arnold's a great guy. God bless him, you know?
Yeah. How were the parties back then in California, Joe?
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
A lot of weed. A lot of coke. A lot of coke weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably something, man. But a lot of stuff. You probably, this is a very unusual podcast, huh?
No, we can talk about anything.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool.
So what was
that? One time I went to Venezuela. Caracas, Venezuela.
Okay.
I went there for a modeling job.
Really? Okay.
And then there was an actress there, her name was Maria Conchita.
Yeah.
A very famous movie star back then.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a good looking guy. I was a good looking guy, and she started liking to me.
Yeah.
And she said to me, "Hey, Joe, man, woman, I want you to invite to this party. I want you to come with me to this party." And I went with her to this party. And I went to this party, and it was in this penthouse.
Yeah.
And all the rich people were there. All the rich people from Venezuela. Their sons, from the petroleum, you know, back then Caracas, Venezuela is a very big petroleum producer.
Yeah.
So I went to the party there, and all these people from the government, their sons from the government like that, everybody was in there smoking cocaine. I mean, smoking grass and smoking cocaine. And that was like an eye opener. I said, man, look at these people. Hey, if you have people, sons running, their fathers run the country. And so, you know, I was like an eye opener. I said, you think like this stuff, poor people, you know, drugs, you know. And, but no, man, it was like an eye opener to me. The wealthy people, you know, cocaine and from the government.
Was this in the 1980s?
That was in late 70s.
Late 70s, okay. All right. Did you get to know Lou Ferrigno?
What's that?
Did you get to know Lou Ferrigno at all, living in New York?
Lou Ferrigno is a great friend of mine.
Okay.
He's a great friend of mine. Yeah, he's a very good friend. Lou's a great guy. We still keep in touch, you know, and we text each other every so often, you know. But he's a great guy. Yeah, New York. I knew New York. I met New York. I met Lou back in Mid-City Gym.
Yeah.
We used to go to Mid-City Gym. His father used to bring him there.
Yeah.
And he used to come and he used to say to me, "Joe, how do you stay so rich? You know, you're always rich, you know?" And then I tell you, Lou was so ignorant back then, you know, He used to ask me about advice on girls, you know?
Oh, really?
He knew I was,
when he was young.
I had a lot of girlfriends, you know? Yeah, one time I said, let's say advice on girls. He was very shy. He was very shy back then.
Yeah.
So I would give you advice on girls and that back then, you know, but we've been friends for a long time.
Yeah. Did you get to know that?
As a matter of fact, I invited Lou down here to Puerto Rico many years ago.
Uh-huh.
He came down here and I got this company to pay for his expenses. And he was here for a weekend. And I was with him while he was doing the tour. I took him to around, and we went together to a restaurant, and we went around in San Juan. He had a great time down here, and I treated him royally, you know, and he appreciates that. To this day, he remembers how I treated him.
Yeah. What year was that?
That was in the early 80s, I believe.
Early
80s.
Yeah.
But he still appreciates how I treated him, you know, and he hasn't forgotten. No, I made it really feel very special down here.
Yeah. How did you feel when Lou got the Hulk role? Were you surprised about that?
No, I wasn't surprised. The guy was he was a beast.
Yeah.
I heard it. I mean, it was kind of lucky that he got it. I heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
The girl put the producer went to the movie. I mean, to a bodybuilding contest?
The story I heard was the producer's son was a kid, and they wanted that guy from the James Bond movies, Jaws, the real tall guy, Richard Kiel. And he was playing the Hulk, and I guess they had him in the makeup and stuff. And then the producer's son saw footage of it, and he said, "That's not the Hulk." He goes, "He has no muscles." So then they started looking for a bodybuilder, and then they found Lou.
Okay, well, I guess they call that destiny, right? Right?
Yeah.
It was meant for Lou, man. Lou was huge, man. He was huge back then, you know.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
That was amazing. He was amazing. Now, talking about gifted, that was really gifted, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a giant, you know?
Did you get to meet Frank Zane?
Frank Zane. The thing that impressed me the most, well, a couple things impressed me the most about Frank Zane, is that this guy, if you saw this guy in street clothes, you never thought you never know he was a bodybuilder.
Right.
Nothing impressed me about Frank. He came to this gym where I won that Mr. Profile gym next United Nations.
Uh-huh.
He supported a train when he was in New York called Profile Gym, right next to United Nations. He was a trainer. And what really, really impressed me about Frank, he was like a form fanatic. This guy had excellent form on all his exercise.
Yeah.
He didn't use a lot of heavy weight, man, right. But he did. He was so strict with form.
Yeah.
And I remember that. And that, you know, I try to, you know, emulate that from him, you know?
Yeah.
He was a great example for training with great form, you know? Strict form. Doing the exercise correctly.
Yeah. Did you get to know him personally, Joe?
No, I didn't get to know, no, not Frank. No, I mean, you know, we might have said hello to each other and that, but he was like, he was, Frank was, kind of into himself, I think. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You did a great job interviewing him, man, because.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's, I don't know. I think it would be hard to interview him, you know? He's not easy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, I know he's a very complex person.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's intelligent.
Yeah, very intelligent, right?
Yeah.
But I met some other guy, Boy Cole.
What'd you think about Lord?
No, the guy was, he put me on the spot for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, you can feed with the legend.
What I think about him as a person or a physique or both?
Both, yeah, yeah. What'd you think of him? He's a great guy.
No, amazing biceps, right? That's undisputed, right?
Yeah.
He had that split in his biceps, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But he wasn't gifted with the midsection.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, I'm being honest, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he would say that too, yeah.
Okay. Okay, who else you want to know?
When you were training for that.
You're getting me in trouble now. You want to go with the five time cat? I mean, Don, you want me to mention Tom Platt?
Sure, yeah.
Tom Platt had amazing legs.
Yeah.
Nobody had legs like Tom Platt.
Right, right.
And Kev. Legs and Kev.
I know. Amazing.
But his body to me was out of proportion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, his body didn't appeal to me at all.
Oh, no.
I don't know how he went that far. I don't know. I mean, his legs brought him at that, you know, that high in bodybuilding. But, you know, like I said, I wasn't impressed with his physique. Not as, you know, not like Samir Benoit. I mean, just the mood, you know, Samir Benoit.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful body. You know what I mean? And everything flowed and. He had the right, like Samir said, you got to have the right package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you get to train? Did you see Tom train when you were out in California?
Oh, the guy was an animal. I saw videos of him doing, like, what did he do? Like, 30, 40 reps and 600 pounds?
Yeah.
All the way down?
Yeah.
No, the guy was the beast. But he did very well for himself, you know, as a you know, in business, he did very well for himself.
Did you get to
see him? Considering he wasn't that gifted genetically, I mean, except for his legs.
That's true.
He did great for himself. The guy did great for himself.
Even when he started, his legs were kind of skinny. So he really created his body, you know, from scratch.
I think, you know, now that you mention that, I did a posing exhibition with Tom Platz.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Tom Platt, Larry Scott, we were guest poses in a competition in Florida.
Wow. Larry Scott too, huh?
Yeah, Larry Scott. Yeah, it was an amateur local bodybuilding contest.
Okay.
And, I met Tom back then. You know, I met him back then. He was just, this is before he went to California.
Okay, all right.
And I think, I'd be honest with you, my opinion, he had better symmetry back then.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think he went crazy with his leg.
He did, yeah, I know.
But when I remember him, when we posed together, when we did a bodybuilding exhibition back in Florida, he had better symmetry back then.
Yeah.
And he went nuts.
Yeah. How are the opportunities? How was the opportunities back then as a bodybuilder, Joe? Were you able to make money in the 70s when you were a professional bodybuilder?
You know, I made my money. I made some money. What do you mean? Uh-huh. But, you know, wasn't, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't wise to spend money. I spend my money on foolish things.
Yeah.
But, like I said, you know, I was selling bodybuilding courses.
Oh, you were?
Okay. And I was doing okay with the bodybuilding courses. Yeah, Bill Reynolds wrote them up for me.
All right.
And if you look at, they're still selling. They're still selling. We're not for my permission, but they're still selling. And they're selling for a lot of bucks. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, body one of my courses is sold like a few hundred bucks.
Oh, they're selling them on eBay and stuff? They're selling them on eBay?
Yeah, on eBay. Yeah, okay. Go to eBay. You know, type in and you put in Jonas Gary bodybuilding courses, and it's still selling. That's all for a few hundred bucks.
Wow.
And I used to have chest, shoulders, triceps, back and biceps, and that. I don't get nothing out of that. But I did, I was fortunate. I did a gig one time for a Tau Force. Remember a Tau Force? I was endorsing a Tau Force.
Uh-huh.
I was in GQ, Popular Mechanics.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and the comic book. I endorsed this Tau Force, and I used to get a nice check there for a few years in the mail. So,
wow.
I get a commission, you know, a percentage.
Yeah.
Royalty, and I did pretty well with that, you know. And so, but I used to, like I said, I used to blow my money back then, you know. You get older, you get wiser, you know.
Yeah. So when you moved to Puerto Rico, you opened up a gym down there, huh?
I opened up, when I first moved to Puerto Rico, I went to work in Gold's Gym.
Okay.
I was in charge there on the floor. And then I got a job after that. I worked there for a while, and then I went to work in a spa in a hotel at San Juan Casino, right on the beach in Isla Verde. Beautiful place. And I used to have a gym here in a penthouse, and I was managing that gym for a while. And then after that, the owner's son came in and took my job. But he was a nice guy. He said, "Hey, Joe, listen, man, you know, I'm going to do you a favor. I want you to come with me to Chicago. And you can go to Chicago, and I'll pay everything, all the expenses. You go to Chicago, and you pick up some lines." I went to the NSCA show. Remember the NSCA show?
Yep.
National Sporting Goods Show.
Yeah, you'll see
all the big companies go there, and all the equipment companies go there. So I went to with him to Chicago and the convention center, and I picked up some lines. I picked up Vallejo belts. Remember Vallejo belts?
Yeah.
The Lel belt? I brought him here. I was the one that brought him here to Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, and you remember the gloves, Fergie gloves? Fergie. The one with the neoprene on the palm?
Yeah.
That neoprene on the palm was the first one. And I bought a lot of lines. I was like a rep in Puerto Rico. I did that for many years, driving around the island, visiting the stores, the gyms, everybody who buys me. So I did very well for myself back then. But, you know, I got tired of it, you know, because driving around is a lot of wear and tear, you know?
Yeah.
So then I had got this opportunity to open up like a health food store. And the owner approached me, the owner of the gym. He says, "Joe, would you like to open up, give you this space, open up a health food store here?" I said, "Fine, this is cool, man, you know." And so I opened up a health food store in his gym, and then he made me an offer to buy his gym. And I took him up on the offer. He brought the price down from $20,000 to $2,000. I got a great deal.
And I
purchased the gym. That was my first. Yeah, I had a great deal, man. And then I got a phone call from another owner of a mall. Beautiful place. It was set up. It was like a ladies' gym before. It was all rugs. It was like a plush place, you know? And he calls me up and says, "Joe, would you like to open up a gym here?" I said, "Okay, let's go check it out." So I went over there and it was beautiful. Remember, it was all over the place, beautiful gym. The space, you know, was all set up. It was all set up for a gym. So I took that. I had two gyms at the same time. Back then, you know, in the 80s, I had two gyms at the same time. So I had two gyms back then, and I was in the gym business for about 30 years.
Okay.
Until the last one, Hurricane Maria knocked me out. You know?
Jeez, wow. No kidding.
Yeah, man. Hurricane Maria was nasty, man. It made big holes in the ceiling.
Yeah. What year was that?
That was in 2017.
17, okay. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
2017. But, you know, everything worked out for good. You know what I mean? You know. Mm-hmm. Everything worked out pretty good. I retired, you know, and my daughter got herself a really good job. Okay. And back then, and you know, she worked for FEMA. Worked for FEMA. She had a federal job.
Yeah.
So she was at the gym with me. So my wife, back then, she got into real estate. So, you know, it worked out for the better. And we, you know, and I retired, but in parentheses, I retired because I still do business. You know what I mean? Right now, I'm promoting an event here in Puerto Rico. I'm promoting an event here in Puerto Rico, and I'm doing very well with that.
Okay. All right. So,
I got offers also to open up another gym. So, I got investors here want me to open up another gym here in Puerto Rico. So.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. What part of Puerto Rico are you in?
I'm in the southern part of the island. It's called Ponce. Ponce, P-O-N-C, Ponce.
Okay, all right.
It's a nice place. I don't know what the population is, maybe 250,000 people. It's just kind of nothing like San Juan, you know. San Juan is like a couple million people. You know?
Yeah, okay. So what do you
think? I'm about 5 minutes from the beach, 5 minutes from the beach.
Oh, great. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the beach.
What do you think the highlight of your bodybuilding career was, Joe? Was it the international? Was that the biggest part, the apex?
The highlight, just to make it to the top.
Yeah.
To see myself on front covers of magazines.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I won some bodybuilding, big, worthwhile bodybuilding titles, you know.
Yeah.
And to be recognized as one of the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Around the world, man, because I have fans from all over, and I got fans from India, Europe, Italy, Sweden. I have fans. So, you know, just to be up there, you know, with the best.
Yeah.
That was like the highlight of my career.
Right.
And it still is. You know, because I have great memories.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's what everybody wants to do, right? They want to make the magazines and be one of the top bodybuilders.
Hey, listen, I turned down an offer too. I was foolish. Joe Weider wanted to put me on. I used to train Morgan Fairchild. Remember Morgan Fairchild?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
She's still around. He's gone. You know.
Yeah.
Nice looking lady. I trained her for a while in the Gold Gym.
Okay.
And Joe Weider found out about it.
Okay.
And he called me up. They say, "Hey, Joe, man, if you want, I'm going to put you on front cover with Morgan Fairchild." You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tell you, I was like, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I think I was in space. You know what I mean? I was somewhere in space. Today.
Yeah.
I said, let me think about it. Oh my God, I was crazy back then, huh?
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, I missed that opportunity. When I go back, so I get better. The missed opportunity. That, I don't know if that's happened to you many times, but, you know, you miss opportunities, great opportunities. Yeah. But anyway, other opportunities come up, you know.
Do you wish you would have competed in the Olympia when you had the chance?
Back then, it was my goal, you know, in the year before. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, right before I won the international, and back then that was my goal. But, you know, over time, I didn't miss that, you know, that goal. I didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't faze me that much, you know, because I missed out on competing in the Olympia. I mean, I don't have any regrets. You know, I mean, I'm content content. I'm happy with with what I accomplished. You know, Mr. International, IFBB, Mr. International. You know something now that you mentioned. Now we're talking. I'm very proud of my accomplishments, like I said.
Uh-huh.
In 1979, 1980. Do you remember that magazine, Muscle Meg International?
Yeah.
Robert Kennedy?
Yeah.
Well, he put on, he had a special edition in the magazine.
Okay.
Where he picked several bodybuilders, Arnold, myself, and he put different, who he thought as the editor had the best body parts in each physique.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You know, and in the sport of bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And I got selected by Bob Kennedy as having the best abs in the world, brother. Muscle Mag International, brother.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of you. I was recognized as having the best abs back then by Muscle Mag International.
Yeah, I remember that. Now that you mentioned that.
Muscle Mag, you know what I mean?
Right.
I was very well known. My abs, they were like bricks back then, you know?
They were, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I had these really stand out, you know?
Right.
So I'm proud of that accomplishment, you know what I mean?
Now, did you come back into competition, Joe, and compete in the 86 World Championships in Columbus?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I did come back, and I didn't play. I didn't do anything back then.
Yeah.
Because I didn't take anything. And one guy wanted a very well-known bodybuilder. I don't want to mention his name. Then I really get in trouble. He's a good friend of mine, you know, very successful bodybuilder, very famous bodybuilder.
Okay.
He said, "Hey, Joe, you know, you should have been on the stuff."
Yeah.
You didn't do anything because you weren't on the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he says, "Oh, okay, well, you know, anyway." But, you know, that was not my purpose in competing. You know, some people consider me a very religious person, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I just have a lot of faith in God, you know. And I just felt back then, he just wanted to take me there, wanted to show me something.
Yeah.
He wanted me to learn something. The other day, I got invited by Wayne D'Amelio.
Okay.
But I didn't do anything. But it was an experience. I had a great time, you know. And that was like the end of my bodybuilding career officially.
Why did you decide to come back after so many years? Just because you were invited?
Yeah, I think so. And also probably I wanted to have a goal, you know, and
yeah.
I wanted to get, you know, it was like I wanted to have a goal to do something with myself, you know.
Right.
Like, I was like looking for like a purpose, you know, for my life. You know, what I was going to do in the future. And so I was like looking for direction back then. Yeah. And so I decided I'm going to try this. And then, you know, that didn't work out. And so that led to other things, you know, like other things like coming back to Puerto Rico and sailing around the islands and eventually own the gyms and that. So.
Yeah.
That's the way life is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're led into where you're supposed to be, you know, eventually, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, as you're knocking on the doors, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, Joe. Well, it's been great talking to you, buddy. I'm glad I finally got to meet you. And thanks for telling me all about your career. I, like I said, I saw you win that international way back in 1978. So it's been a great pleasure meeting you finally.
Yo, you were 15 years old.
Yeah, 15 years old.
Hey, John, you're a great guy, and I wish you the best, you know, and I thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it, you know.
Oh, my pleasure, Joe. My pleasure.
Really I really appreciate you inviting me, you know, and the first time you invited me, I wasn't ready, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you hung in there with me, and I really appreciate that, you know.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity, you know.
Yeah, I thought I'd try you again.
We'll maintain in contact, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And best of luck with that gym. I hope you guys open up another gym up there. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I'll see what happens, you know, if it's God's will. You know, I think the investors are still there. The investors are there.
Yeah.
I got the experience, the knowledge, I got the contacts, and they want to put up their, they want to make the investment. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I'm going to continue training hard twice a day, you know, and watching my diet, you know, and.
Good for you.
And I'll continue going forward, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait to see what you look like at 73 years old. That's awesome.
Well, my next goal is December. That's the second next goal I have. December. I want to get really hard rock. Really
All right.
grit, you know, and All really right. hard by December. So
okay.
we'll keep it in touch.
All right. I'm going to be watching you, Joe. All right, buddy. All right, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me on the show, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Joe. All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you to Joe Nazario for joining us today. And thank you again to all our Patreon sponsors that sponsor our show every day. Like I said, if you guys want to become a Patreon sponsor, just go to the Bodybuilding Legends show website. And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the link that will take you there. All right, without any further ado, I am going to read this article about Joe Nazario. It comes from the March 1979 issue of Muscle Builder and Power. And it says, Joe Nazario defeats the injury demon. You don't just play around with slip discs. They hurt like hell, and any sort of abnormal pressure on the spine can increase the pain enough to make a strong man as weak as a baby. Surgical removal of the disc is supposed to be the only way to cure this malady. Joe Nazario, however, has come up with an alternative method of curing a bad back. I injured my back quite badly 2 years ago, Nazario recalls. It was a freakish sort of accident, really. A car skidded into me on the icy street one night. It didn't really hit me that hard, but my spine was in an unnatural position when the crash came, and there was enough of a shearing effect to damage the disc. For several days, I was in traction, and for about a year, there was considerable pain. There were times when I couldn't walk half a block without sitting down to rest. The only bodybuilding I did consisted of those exercises I could perform with my back supported by a bench. After a year of steady pain, I was fed up enough to get the disc cut on, but decided on one last-ditch remedy. I've always been impressed with how powerful the mind can be. It can make someone into a superhuman in the gym. So why not use it to cure a herniated disc? Now, I'm not saying the disc is back to new, but there's been no pain for a year, and I'm now squatting 30 reps with 350 pounds. All I did was focus my mind on the problem, willing it to improve. The mind is so powerful that you can overcome almost any obstacle with it. The slip disc and the time it took to get back into shape once it was better caused me to coast for a couple of years, but you can bet I'm training harder now than I ever have. I want to win some big titles, and I want to grow with the sport. Joe Nazario has already grown with the sport quite quickly. Subtracting the last 2 years of back problems and recuperation from the six Joe has been training, he has only 4 years of hard bodybuilding behind him. For that short length of time, his progress has been incredible. He's won 18 titles to date, including Mr. Eastern America, Mr. USA, and Mr. International. Usually I train hard all year round, he reveals. The intensity doesn't deviate much except right before a contest when I get all psyched up and train much harder. Then all the stops are jerked out. And I really get rolling. I was 215 at 5'10" all this year, but toward the international, I really hardened up. Normally, I train 6 days a week for about 2 hours each day. It's two body parts a day and each body part three times a week. All muscle groups receive about the same number of sets per workout, usually between 20 and 25. I've been blessed with a very symmetrical body, and I've never had one muscle group lag behind the other. An old magazine article on me once said I trained 6 or more hours a day, but I've really never worked out for more than 2.5 to 3 hours a day. Anybody who read that article could have been misled, so I want to set the record straight. I train with medium weights, but with speed and intensity, which is what Joe Weider talks about when he discusses the quality training principle. To give you an example of how I train, here's the deltoid routine I followed just before winning the Mr. International. Press behind the neck, 5 sets of 8 to 10 reps, supersetted with side laterals, 5 sets of 8 to 10 reps. Dumbbell presses, 5 sets of 8 to 10 reps, supersetted with front laterals, 5 sets of 8 to 10 reps. Nautilus side laterals, 5 sets of 8 to 10 reps, supersetted with bent laterals, 5 sets of 8 to 10 reps. As you can see, it's full bore all the way.
since everything is supersetted. Then at the end of my workout, I hang upside down from a chinning bar to stretch and relax my back. Most of my workouts take place at Mr. America's Body Shop in Farmingdale, New York. The gym's owned by Steve Mihalik, a former AAU Mr. America. He's been nice to me and has even given me a key to the gym so I could train when it was closed. It's good to have a competitive bodybuilder owning a gym where you train because he fully understands what you're up against. Joe Nazario's dietary habits are very similar to those used by so many top bodybuilders. In the off season, I eat a normal balanced diet with red meat and some dairy products. Before a contest, however, I stick with white meats like fish and chicken, plus some vegetables and a piece of fruit in the morning. Usually I take in about 60 grams of carbohydrates per day when peaking, but I don't count calories. My energy used to drag too much when on zero carbs in the past, so I never do it again. I just don't believe in zero carbs now. For food supplements, I take everything from A to Z. I take a lot all year and even more before a contest. It would take all day to tell you everything I take, but you should know that as my diet narrows down for a contest, the supplements gradually increase. A strict contest diet is too low in vitamins and minerals, so to prevent a deficiency, I up my supplement intake. Nazario currently works as a model and is planning to issue a set of training courses soon. He's also going to college. Last year, Joe sold his health food store for quite a profit, so he has that extra money to rely on when modeling assignments are infrequent. Joe's always quick to give credit to all those individuals who have helped him to excel at the chosen sport. If it wasn't for my wife, I never would have accomplished what I have today. She's a registered nurse and is very knowledgeable about nutrition, to say nothing about also being a great cook. She's been behind me 110%. In fact, when I first started bodybuilding, she told me, "Joe, you're going to be Mr. Olympia someday." I was sure I wouldn't, and I was always putting myself down. She's always built me up, however, and has been willing to make sacrifices with me. In short, she's the bodybuilder's perfect wife. Wayne D'Amelio, the Night of the Champions promoter, has really helped me out with my posing, and he's been a great source of moral support. He encourages me when I'm down, and he keeps pushing me. Wayne believes I can win some big titles, and it's great to have someone like that behind you. My posing used to be rotten, but Wayne took an initial interest in helping me out. If it wasn't for Wayne, my posing would still be dismal. Bob Gruskin, an East Coast physique photographer, has also helped me with my posing. Everyone who supported me deserves a part of each of my victories. I'm dedicating my Mr. International win to Steve Mihalik, Wayne D'Amelio, Bob Gruskin, my wife, and God. They all deserve to share in my successes because they are largely responsible for them. The 1978 Mr. International was unique in that it was a pro-am event. I like the idea, Nazario says, but it put tremendous pressure on me to be competing against amateurs. There have been pro-am events in tennis and golf for years, so bodybuilding should logically follow suit. Everybody should be allowed to enter any contest he wants to. I had no objections to competing against amateurs at the International, but if I'd lost to Carlos Rodriguez or somebody, it would not have looked good. I had to be at my best. Joe Nazario's rewards from bodybuilding will undoubtedly be cold cash soon, but for now they are largely intrinsic. For me, the rewards in bodybuilding come from meeting interesting people and from the feeling of accomplishment I get from the sport. There is such a great sense of accomplishment in sculpting a beautiful body. Very few seem to be able to do it, and it makes me feel good to be succeeding as a bodybuilder. Success makes me feel that all the training, diet, and sacrifice are well worth it. All right, the end. All right, good article about Joe Nazario. And, of course, he mentioned that back problem in our interview, and he said that that early version of the inversion table was what really helped him. So he did mention the article that he hangs upside down, so that's must have been what he meant. So that's also helped me with my back. I use that thing every day. And one part of Joe's interview I couldn't understand was when he turned down the cover of Muscle and Fitness with Morgan Fairchild. Wow, how could you do that, Joe? Morgan Fairchild was beautiful, and to be on the cover. And I think Joe said he would think about it. All right, so that's it for this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you to Joe Nazario for joining us. And hopefully we can get John DeFendis on the show next week or somebody else. Until then, guys, stay safe, train hard, and I'll see you guys next week. Take care.